There are people that have told us they have not left their home in years because they couldn't get out. And we want to stop that. That's right. No way to live. And working at Rebuilding Together, I know every day, whether I'm pushing paper, signing checks, whatever I'm doing, mm-hmm. that I am helping so many people to live safely and comfortably. And that we take that for granted. So many of us do.
I am really excited to share that the Nonprofit Podcast Network will now be increasing the number of nonprofit stories we get to share. With the generous support from CAP Trust, Fiduciary Advice for Endowments and Foundations, you can find them in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom, Runyon Saltzman, Inc., RSE, Marketing, Advertising, and Public Relations, Creating Integrated Communications Committed to Improving Lives, and Western Health Advantage, a full-service healthcare plan for individuals, employer groups, and families, these businesses have made it possible for the Nonprofit Podcast Network to go from a once-a-month episode to once-a-week episode, allowing us to serve that many more nonprofit agencies in our community. Please give preference to these companies if you require their services, and if you don't, heck, write, call, or comment on their websites with a thank you. Oh, and be very sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode every Wednesday. Welcome to the Nonprofit Podcast Network. Our purpose and passion is to highlight a nonprofit organization in each episode, giving that organization an opportunity to tell their story in their words to better inform and educate the respective communities they serve, as well as provide one more tool for them to share their message to constituents and donors. Hi, I'm Jeff Holden, Principal of Multipoint Content Strategies and Hear Me Now Studio. We provide this forum pro bono to help build stronger communities through shared voices and to both encourage and support the growth of local nonprofit organizations through podcasting. Most of us have that neighbor. You know, the senior woman, man, or couple that have lived in the house forever and maintenance has gone, well, a little long past deferred. Or there's been a serious injury or job loss that is preventing them keeping their home up. The place really needs work. Serious work. Work their fixed income won't support. And it's surely beyond the scope and skill set you've got. Just checking in on them or bringing a treat is not what they really need. Their home has really become unsafe to live in. Wouldn't it be great if there was an organization that could help them with their situation? This episode addresses just that. Bonnie Patterson is a seasoned nonprofit professional currently serving as the executive director of Rebuilding Together Sacramento, where she leads efforts to provide critical safety and home repairs for low-income homeowners. With a background deeply rooted in financial management and program operations, Bonnie previously held the role of director of finance and operations at the Museum of Science and Curiosity, where her expertise contributed to the institution's success. Prior to that, she honed her skills as the finance and program manager at Rebuilding Together Sacramento, demonstrating a commitment to both community service and revitalization efforts. Before her tenure in these positions, she spent a decade owning a consultancy firm specializing in nonprofit management, offering strategic guidance to organizations seeking to maximize their impact. Outside of her professional endeavors, Bonnie takes pride in her family, boasting a grown son, three daughters, and two sons-in-law who serve as a constant source of joy and inspiration in her life. Bonnie, welcome to the program. I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I haven't had anybody where I need a hard hat and a hammer and some nails, and what you do is unique compared to some of the other people that we've interviewed. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I love talking about Rebuilding Together Sacramento almost as much as I love talking about my kids. But they get tired of that. So I'm glad you're giving me a microphone.
Good. Well, let's get started. On the organization itself, what really do you do in the community? What is Rebuilding Together?
Rebuilding Together Sacramento is one of 120 affiliates of Rebuilding Together, the national organization. We serve all of Sacramento County. We actually have Our Save at Home program is in the city of West Sacramento, parts of San Joaquin County and El Dorado County. We started originally back in 91 as Christmas in April. And from there, it was all volunteers, and we only did rebuild events. So that's repairing houses of low-income homeowners, just people that need a helping hand. From there, it grew. In 2000, by that point, we were rebuilding together. We hired our first employee who was with us until last year. She was our executive director the entire time.
How long is that?
That was 23 years. She was the executive director.
One person.
Incredible
stayed for 23
person.
Years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
She is remarkable. And when I tell you all the things that we have grown into, it all was because of her. And I am thrilled. She was my boss for 5 years. She is now my friend and now my predecessor. So that her name's Carrie Gripp, by the way. And
you have some big shoes to fill.
Oh, my word. You have no idea. I had no idea how much she did until I stepped in. And thankfully, she is there a phone call away because I'm calling her constantly.
Fantastic. And the good news is everybody now is going to have an idea because we're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, and actually, since I have taken over, we've kind of expanded more. But we went from just doing rebuild events, which were just in April. In fact, it was just one day in April. To now, we call it our rebuild month, and that's the most mm-hmm. of our houses are done in that month. And we also do fall. We do 15 to 30 homes per year, and that can be anything from landscaping to fencing to electrical repair, you name it. We do everything, whatever we can find volunteers to help with. We also, in 2001, started a Safe at Home program. So that is where we're able to help hundreds of people every year.
The Safe at Home program is different and distinct from the rebuilding projects.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So Safe at Home is intended for older adults and those with disabilities to age safely in their home. So, you know, there's a lot of choices. People can choose to live with their family, senior centers, you know, something like that. But the majority of people that reach out to us want to stay in the home that they've known and loved for so many years. Mm-hmm. So what we do with our Safe at Home program is go in completely free of charge, install ramps, railings, grab bars, all sorts of things so that they can be safe.
The typical slip and fall stuff, mm-hmm. showers, entryways, garage doors.
The number one call to 911 for older adults is from a fall. Mm. So we work with a lot of funders to prevent that. A lot of hospitals are really encouraging us to help not have them come back into the hospital because once you fall, it tends to be easy to keep falling. So we go through, we assess everything, tell them about tripping hazards in their home, rugs, that kind of thing, not getting on ladders.
Cords.
So cords, yeah.
I know we're smiling, but they don't know we're smiling. It's because I did do one of those stupid ladder mistakes and fell and broke my arm, okay?
And not there. That I'm laughing about it, but you did tell a funny story about it. But thank goodness you're okay. So we want to stop that from happening to other people. Then we have a critical repair program. So that is a lot more money and helping a lot fewer people because what we can do with that are replace roofs, HVAC, windows, very expensive. That we're very limited to where the funding comes from. For instance, right now, City of Rancho Cordova is the only funder we have to do that. We just finished with Citrus Heights. And then what I'm really excited about is we are looking at getting funding right now for handyman services because – again, we don't want older people on ladders and mm-hmm. let us change your batteries in the smoke detectors and change out light bulbs for you.
And I would imagine a lot of people think that's easy to do and I'll just get up there and do mm-hmm. it. And the next thing you know, now you have an issue, especially if you're 70, 80
that's right.
years old.
That's right.
Regardless of your shape, everything isn't functioning the same as it used to.
That's right. Our sense of balance changes as we get older.
Right.
One of the things that Carrie brought to us was funding for occupational therapists as well. So some of those folks that have been already hospitalized, we are able to send her out, and she spends an enormous amount of time with them pre-installation and then post to make sure that they're still using everything properly. Mm-hmm. Because it's not just installing. It's how to use that grab bar effectively.
I have so many questions, and I want to just get into them in a different set of sequence than we have, but I think we would overlook one of them if we did just get into the functional elements of the questioning. Mm-hmm. So let me ask, there's other organizations of similar concept, let's say, and I'm sure you get confused with them. You know, maybe you could differentiate a little bit of,
the points of significance from yourself and maybe Habitat for Humanity?
Right. So we are confused with Habitat all the time. We often say that we're the best kept secret in Sacramento, even though we've been around over 30 years doing the same thing. Our expertise is in home repairs. So Habitat, most people know, started out with building new houses. We were repairing old houses. And at least in Sacramento, in 2017, Habitat also started doing some home repairs. Now, there's certainly plenty of work to go around, and Habitat's a wonderful organization. But we are a little bit different. So we have, I believe there's sometimes some funding that is different on their side than ours. We try to be very, very easy in getting our applications in. We're less restrictive than a lot of other organizations. By the way, it is low income. They do have to be homeowners because we can't really find funders that want to help in rental situations because really that would be a landlord's job to
do. Right, not a good investment.
Right. But we don't look at anything like assets or anything like that. It only is income that's coming in. So it's not our place to judge why someone might have a really expensive car. We don't know how they came about that. It is our job to verify their income, homeownership, and help. That's what we do. So where Habitat is concerned, we refer people to one another all the time. Habitat is a well-known name, much more common than people hear our name. And I'll tell you, it's not that bad to be likened to Habitat.
I'm really intrigued by the way that you collaborate and pleased to hear it, because I do perceive them as the house and you as the operation of the house, so to speak. You're fixing something that pre-exists. My understanding is that theirs is more building a house or getting a house, the whole house, not the pieces and the elements and the makeup of it. So at least there's a differentiation in my mind of what the two of you do.
We're very similar on the repair side. They don't do safe at home. I don't believe they're going to do anything like handyman services. They do have a lot of funding, so they are able to help with a lot more like roofs and that kind of thing than we're able to do. So that's why we'll send people over there sometimes. So,
and you would seem that you're more locally oriented, even into the niche of a community, than the grand scale of a Habitat, so to speak.
Actually, it's kind of the opposite. So you've got Habitat of Greater Sacramento. So we are Rebuilding Together Sacramento. So we kind of serve the same areas. We spread out into a few more counties, but they will focus on like Rock the Block. So there is just a community. Do great work when they do that. And it's a fun, fun event to go to. We kind of do it more throughout the year and in more locations. Our rebuild days can be in a neighborhood, but we spread out some. So, for instance, this year, Ranch Cordova is a big funder of ours. So we're always helping out there. But it's County of Sacramento funded. So we're in South Sacramento. And we're trying to get into more communities of color. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is working with organizations. For instance, this year, it's the Asian Real Estate Association.
I saw that on the website. I was going to ask you about
they're
that.
They're a huge supporter of ours. We're very thrilled to work with them and SAR as well. So realtors are...
Sacramento Association of Realtors.
That is right. Okay. So sorry, I will start going into acronyms.
Acronym City, right?
But they have been huge supporters of ours as well. So we work with realtors often to kind of locate some of the areas that we need to be in. And when we don't necessarily look like the people we're trying to help, we started realizing that's a problem. Mm-hmm. So in working with Asian Real Estate Association, they said, let us help. And we started a model. This is the first year. We're trying it, learning a lot. They come out with us to the houses and talk to people. Sometimes there's a language barrier. They're helping us with that. And then we're going to start working. We have somebody on our board, Veronica Nelson. She's worked with Sacramento Realtists. So there, it is African American Real Estate Association. Then there's Hispanic, all of that. So we're hoping this is a model that keeps going. And I know that there are sometimes trust issues, and that is hopefully going to help with that if someone's knocking on the door.
Well, and it's interesting, too, because as you're speaking, since you said Hispanic, we just had the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce to talk with them. There's a collaboration that could work where there's opportunity.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Asian Chamber and on and on down the line. They all have, we have our ethnic chambers who could be really catalysts and support mechanisms for you.
Yeah, that's great.
As they listen to this episode, they're going to hear that and you're going to be contacted. And if they don't, I'm going to reach out to them and suggest that they do.
Well, I love it. Thank you. Yes, please contact us.
Something that you're saying is the question that just keeps coming to mind that I wanted to ask in the very beginning is, how does one get their home to be involved in the rebuild project?
Great question. So our application is on our website, and people call us. We can mail an application as well. We actually have it. You can print it from the website or apply online directly, and we can go over what types of funding we have for their area. By far, it's Safe at Home. We have caseworkers often calling us to send an application to homeowners.
So and by caseworkers, what is that?
Who are the caseworkers? So for instance, Meals on Wheels, we work with them quite a bit. So they go into a home and they say, oh, wait, we can see that this person would benefit from having a ramp. And so they may have a caseworker involved, and then they contact us, ask us to send an application. SMUD is a huge partner, and they are going to be doing some big projects coming up, and we're talking to them right now about doing the same kind of thing. If their folks are in doing a weatherization type of thing, well, maybe they see there's a need for us, and then we're going to try to streamline that. So
that's a window, a really gaping door or something to that effect where they can help and make it not only safer, but a little more secure for the individual, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So once the application comes in, we just require proof of income, and that could be a Social Security award letter. That could be, you know, W-2, whatever it is. And then we reach out to them. And everything runs through our Safe at Home filter first, because that is a safety and immediate need. We find out if they need that work done, that happens right away. If it is something more that they need, that a critical repair or just home repair, then we try to find if there's funding there. We sometimes have funders that just come out of the blue and say, we would like to help. And they may say, we want to help a veteran. Well, we'll go back through our files and say, was it somebody that hadn't got help before that is a veteran? We can pull that out. So
that's fantastic.
We try to make it easy.
So you are involved in the community in a variety of different ways with collaboration from other organizations by necessity.
Yes.
Because otherwise, how would you know? How would people know to reach out?
That is true. So this kind of thing is perfect for us to get our name out there. But also tabling events. County of Sacramento often invites us to caregiver events or healthy mind events, that kind of thing. So we go to those a lot.
Do you ever get individual references? Like, let's say I know a neighbor who's really struggling. I can suggest or even help them fill out the application.
Okay. Yeah. We get that quite a bit, as a matter of fact. A lot of people that are our age that have older parents, they will call us. The parents may not want the help yet or they're scared. And so we work with the children of the older adults to help calm their fears.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
How do you get the professionals that you need to do all the work you do? Where do they come from?
So we have a pretty robust volunteer database. And it used to be where most of our sponsors of these homes would be construction companies. And they would say, we want our team to sponsor a house. And we've had such great luck with that even when people leave one place and go to another, now we have them both because they, you know, this person was so excited. We try to make it a wonderful event. We have occasionally had to reach out to find paid contractors. So, for instance, if we're doing a roof or HVAC, something like that that requires all the permits, all of that, that is a different type of situation in that we will locate contractors and then they go through our vetting system, insurances, agreement, that kind of thing. But for the most part, it's all volunteers, either word of mouth or we are trying to get our name out there a lot more. Pre-pandemic, we had people just coming to us all the time. We want to do something with you. Everything changed during the pandemic.
Sure.
And it's not only us. We're hearing it from everybody that it's hard to get volunteers coming back in. So we are struggling with that a little bit. And I am having to be pretty creative about how we're reaching out to find folks. So there's skilled labor and there is less than skilled labor. Skilled labor would be somebody who maybe is a contractor already or
plumber,
worked somewhere.
Roofer, something, electrician.
And then The rest are mostly people like us. Then we can paint and we can nail boards in and do landscaping. And so it's kind of a mixture of trying to find which works best or work for, because we could get 60 people at a house that are all unskilled, yet that's not what we needed. So there's a lot
of
management.
Boy, would we make a mess. The house would be worse than when we started with it.
So, yes. So there's a lot of management that goes into all of these.
Yeah, I can only imagine the logistic elements of a bigger project.
Yeah, but I've got a great team. So, and we had all those years under Carrie, and she's got us streamlined.
Well, and we're going to get into that in just a second. As soon as we break for a few words from the people that are making all this possible. I was in the media business for over 35 years and had the great privilege of working with Runyon Saltzman, RSE, Marketing, Advertising, and Public Relations. We collaborated on many different campaigns, but their commitment to the nonprofit sector hasn't changed since their founder, Gene Runyon, started the agency. Over many years and many campaigns, Runyon Saltzman has been committed to improving lives by tackling California's most challenging issues. Guided by research-informed strategies and insightful, creative solutions, RSE develops innovative communications campaigns that raise awareness, educate, and reduce stigma in diverse communities throughout our state and beyond. To learn more about RSE, visit rs-e.com.
I'm Kelly Brothers. At Cap Trust, we help individuals and families with wealth planning. We help big organizations with their corporate retirement plans. But we also do a lot of work with endowments and foundations, providing fiduciary advice for their investment management, their risk management, or working with donors. Give me a call or reach out via our website or ask one of our clients, Sacramento SPCA, Sacramento Food Bank, or the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. Cap Trust in Sacramento, Roseville, or Folsom. Find us at CapTrust.com or call 916-924-7527.
I'm thrilled to have Western Health Advantage partnering with us as they do so much to support so many nonprofit agencies in our community. As a truly local health plan, you'll find individual and family options, employer options, plans for CalPERS and Medicare Advantage. From medical services to pharmacy, health and wellness support, as well as behavioral health care, Western Health Advantage has a plan that fits what you need. As an employer, for profit or nonprofit business, individual or family, you can find more at westernhealth.com.
Okay, we're back with Bonnie Patterson, and we were talking about the contractors and the way that they're solicited, the volunteers, and the need for skilled versus unskilled like us. So, Bonnie, on these bigger projects where it's more than just the safety and the grab bars and things of that nature, where you really do have some scope to the repairs of the house, how do those come about? Are they the same way online? Do you go to the neighborhoods? They come from the caseworkers?
So we have the same – we try to streamline everything with the application process. There are times where we are in specific neighborhoods, for instance, with the one that's coming up now with the Asian Real Estate Association. We're in the Lemon Hill District. So we work with the realtors to pick out which homes are owned because that does matter. We need to verify that they do own the home. And then we reach out by postcard, knocking on doors, leaving flyers, that kind of thing. We put flyers in local stores. And
it just says, we're coming?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how cool is that?
One of the things that we have kind of switched doing it now, so people can easily find out you need to be low income to qualify for our services. That a lot of people are a little hesitant for people to know that. So their neighbors are going to eventually figure it out if they also look into us. So a suggestion, it wasn't my idea, it was actually the Asian Real Estate Association, and we have run with it, was to say, instead of we can help you, it's more like, hey, we're only choosing four houses. And we could not believe the response then. It looked so different. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, I also should point out, we are allowing anyone of any ethnicity to apply, and it comes basically first come, first serve, and what fits our program best. So even the four houses we're choosing in the Lemon Hill District are not all of Asian descent. So I just want to make that clear. There's no
discrimination.
There's no discrimination.
It's just first come,
so,
first serve.
Yeah.
Qualified.
Yeah. It's just we happen to know some communities are communities of color.
Sure.
Then after that, we send our team out. We have a rebuild event manager and then a coordinator. They go out. They do a full walkthrough of the home, talk to the homeowner, learn what is needed on the home, and if it was something that we can fill. Some homes are way too heavy, and some are actually too light. It wouldn't be a good volunteer experience. Mm-hmm. And then we plug it all in and then start looking for what we call house captains. Those are the people that have not necessarily more skill but can manage volunteers that may know a contractor and can get the volunteers organized properly.
What's an average number of volunteers you have working on a project?
Well, on our rebuild projects, we like to have 20 to 50, depending on how big the project is.
A bunch of camaraderie you have out there for a couple of days, huh?
Yeah. I remember when I was with Rebuilding Together Sacramento before, we would have 400 people in a day coming out. It was remarkable. Now we are kind of scrambling to get 20 people together. So our safe-at-home volunteers, because that's the other part, we have some tried and true. We've got about 12 people, older, retired, that just want to give back. And they come in every Tuesday and Thursday. And then they do many of the installations for the grab bars and railings and that kind of thing. So that is an ongoing thing year after year with the same folks.
So you kind of have this core crew of people who know what to do. They can come in, boom, 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 get it done. And
that's right.
And out.
They're great. They're great.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, I could not do it without them.
Right. And then on the volunteer side, where you have a bigger project, how do you recruit your volunteers?
So we start sending out social media. We start sending out emails to previous volunteers. Throughout the year, we are sometimes contacted for team building type of events, and we can either do one of our houses early to allow for that. This year, we're doing a couple in June to allow for that.
And by team building, like a corporate team, lack of better description, an agency of some sort or a business of some sort, says we want to take our executive team or our whatever team to do this as our community service.
Yes, yes.
Ah, that's fun.
In fact, there is a national organization that's made up of contracting board registrars that were having a board meeting in California, and they contacted us. And so we had all of these registrars come out. Some were very skilled. Some are more administrative.
Yeah.
And they did a bang-up job at one of our houses, and it was so much fun. And that we just had a great time, and we were really, really impressed with them.
Let's take a minute to talk about the fun part of that. What have you seen? That's a great example. How about some other ones that you've seen where the group of volunteers got into that neighborhood or that house?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a couple stories.
One that comes to mind was Veterans Day. So we had Clayton Homes come to us and want to sponsor, which meant all skilled labor. So that was pretty exciting for us. So,
big scope of work on that one,
yeah,
I would hope.
It was. I could not believe what they got done. And they had a soft spot for veterans. So we reached out to someone who had recently applied for our Safe at Home program. And we had just put grab bars in her home, and her name is Diotha, and she's 83.
Oh, wow.
And she is this sweet, wonderful woman that's quiet and did not want to be interviewed. And Clayton came out in force, and they put a completely custom-built, remade ramp for her kitchen, redid her kitchen. They painted her house. They did everything. It was remarkable. Well, we had the press come out. That was part of the sponsorship that they gave us. And so we reached out to the press, and they wanted desperately to interview her. And she was uncomfortable, but I had made the comment of how happy we were that we could help somebody like her. And she said, well, if I do this, does this help others know about you? And so she did.
Wonderful.
So there's these clips out there from KCRA, I think. And she's so wonderful. And she was just so, so thankful. And Clayton was remarkable. We basically just stood back and stayed out of their way.
And let them do their thing.
Let them do their thing. And then they got interviewed, and then we found out more about them and why veterans are so important to them. It could not have been a better day.
How about in some of the neighborhoods where you do, or do you go in, like, let's say it's a canvas of that particular neighborhood and you get acceptance of 3-4 homes. I think you've got something coming up in Rancho Cordova, if I'm not mistaken, I saw on the website. Is it April?
Yes,
is it this
month? Have every single weekend in April we're doing these. One is a facility, SACU Center. We're excited about that one too.
Okay, so you do even beyond houses, you could get into a commercial property or something like a school or whatever.
Community centers, the Orangeville Fair Oaks Food Bank and Farm. We're really excited. We have a grant from Republic Services that we were able to pick a project, and we are very excited that one is going to be major. And our last hurrah will be September 28th, and that's our day of service when we're going to have volunteers. Okay. But
and do you participate in Big Day of Giving?
Yes. Yes, we do. Okay. Thank you so much for bringing that up. That is something that we are really trying to get a wonderful turnout. You know, there's a lot of incredible nonprofits in Sacramento. So we're all asking for the same money. Mm-hmm. And it really comes down to what your interest is. I always go, you know, puppies and children, they are going to always do well. I don't think
Well,
that...
if I'm not mistaken, houses have puppies and children in them.
That's right.
If we roof's leaking, the puppy's not happy, the child can't sleep.
I think you're onto something. That's how we should spin it. No, I just don't think that we in America revere our older adults like they do in some other countries.
Right.
And I personally would love to have that changed. And that is going to be my mission, Jeff. That's what I'm going to do. So I think that we get scared of growing older and we kind of don't want to think about it. And so we're looking at how do we get that message out there that by people donating to us through Big Day of Giving or just throughout the year, then we can help and we can help their parents or, you know, help their elderly neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, and to that point too, Bonnie, if you can take some of the burden of the living environment off of somebody's mind, they can then focus on their well-being. They don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, this isn't working. My stove isn't working. My furnace may not be working. Whatever those things may be where it's just not right. If that's not a burden that they have to carry because it just got repaired, then they can really worry about, well, I've got a medical appointment. I've got to worry about this. I've got to get my exercise, but I couldn't walk down the stairs before. Now I have a ramp. I can get out.
That's right.
Yeah, just all those things.
I don't think that people realize, like, for instance, mobile homes, they are not ideal to grow older in if you end up in a wheelchair because ramps are difficult to put on a mobile home because of the rise, and you need to have, just so you know, an inch for every foot up. So that would mean sometimes a 40-foot ramp.
I know that that's run and rise. I do know that from stairs.
So then that means a wheelchair lift. Well, that could be $10,000 to $15,000, and there's just nobody really funding that. We have a longstanding relationship with the Agency on Aging, and they do provide a lot of funding to help us with those kinds of things. So I don't want to say that we can't do that because we can. It's just we have to kind of base the need. But yeah, there are people that have told us they have not left their home in years because they couldn't get out, and we want to stop that. That's no way to live.
No, that's not. And that is one of the things that you provide the ability for them to get there.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. I think when we just think of rebuilding together, it's like, okay, we're fixing these houses and all that sort of stuff, but you're actually changing somebody's life and lives by what you do because now they can do things differently that they couldn't do before.
Yeah. I was so excited to come back, and I have had some really incredible jobs in the nonprofit world, but working at Rebuilding Together, I know every day, whether I'm pushing paper, signing checks, whatever I'm doing, that I am helping so many people to live safely and comfortably, and that we take that for granted, so many of us do.
Right. How many people are on staff?
Right now we have 7. We're hiring 2 more. We have a part-time installer that we're about to bring on, and then an administrative person. So there'll be 9 of us total.
Is there a skill set necessary? Do you have to have people who are contractor oriented or familiar with, you know, the contracting rebuilding process? You know, what split do you have of those, let's say, soon to be 9 people?
So 3, no, let's say 4 should have some construction background, but not not a contractor necessarily. It is our team now. They have handyman type skills. So mm-hmm. that is very beneficial. The rebuild side, we have somebody who was a house captain for many, many years, and he himself was a handyman. And so he is able to immediately identify, just walk into a house and start noticing that.
Half of our staff. Orient what subs mm-hmm. he needs to do what.
And okay. all the testers, are the outlets working properly and all
right,
of that.
Right.
The other half of the staff are more management side of things. Obviously myself, but our marketing person, finance person, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. What about the funding of the organization? First of all, how big is it? What's the overall budget you're working with?
$1.4 million.
Okay.
Which is
sizable, but
well, small to
always
a lot
to be bigger.
Or other organizations. But to give you an example, when I started originally in 2014, we were at about $500,000. So we have grown a lot. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of a need out there, and that is why I think that more funders are coming towards us, cities and counties especially.
You're one of the few organizations where you can literally see the impact you make.
Right.
You can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tangible. You know, it's material because you're sticking something into the home that's visible.
That's right.
And then consequently, you know, the benefit to the homeowner. How about the overall funding mechanism? How do you generate your funding?
Most of our funding comes from grants through cities and counties, so CDBG grants or community grants that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have a lot of wonderful givers through foundations, and SMUD is a big supporter of ours,
mm-hmm.
and then just individual donations. But like our homes are sponsored. So a construction company may come in and say, we'd like to give you $5,000 and sponsor a house. And
okay. And then that is specifically for that particular address on mm-hmm. that street. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So then our—
we have to get to naming rights on the house. There you go. You can get another $5,000 in perpetuity, and it's the Clayton Homes house.
Forever. You know. That I would sure the homeowner would love that. We do put signs up every time, so there is plenty of marketing that goes out to say thank you, and folks can know that, for instance, Clayton did so much work on that mm-hmm. house. So,
and I would imagine once you're in a neighborhood— the whole neighborhood is aware of it because
right.
something is taking place at Dorothea's house.
Mm-hmm.
That, what is that? What's happening? There's a whole lot of activity.
Yes.
How is she able to do that?
So we will get people coming from down the street, you know, what's happening here, especially when there's news crews outside.
Yes.
People will come down, hey, can I fill out an application? And, you know, it's always funny because we more than likely already sent something to them. But we have done a great job, especially with older communities. CSLB, Contractor State License Board.
Thank you.
They will try to help elderly people because there's so many scams.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've done a fantastic job, but then we have to convince them, no, we are legit. It's not too good to be true. But if I came to you and said, hey, we're willing to do all of this and we're not going to charge you anything, we're not going to put a lien on your house, nothing, it almost sounds too good to be true.
Yes.
So we understand why people are hesitant. But if you see a dumpster at somebody's house, it's immediately like, what's happening there? So Republic Services, huge supporter of ours, and they provide our dumpsters, and it never fails. Neighbors are like, can we put stuff in there? And so it gets us able to talk to them. And then that word of mouth, we can then possibly help them or someone else they know.
And Republic Services, for the benefit of those who, like me, weren't familiar, is mm-hmm. waste management.
Waste management, that's right. And
they give back so much.
We have been very, very fortunate for our partnerships. So that is, we could not do it without people funding us. But on the other side, we can't do it without the need and people sending in their applications. And so that's, we need volunteers, we need funding, we need applicants.
Well, that tees up the next question perfectly.
Oh, look at me.
Right, right. You're on top of it. The need, the greatest need. Obviously, there probably is no shortage of opportunity in homes that could use the service,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that you probably get more than enough applications. But what is the greatest need as you see it right now? What, you've got something coming up, you know what your year looks like. Where is the biggest shortfall? If you're going to make a plea to somebody to say, here's what our situation is, this is what we need more than anything.
I would say what's keeping me up at night is we're not getting enough volunteers for our April events. Mm-hmm. Then.
And has that been the case maybe for the last couple of years since post-pandemic? Mm-hmm. It's a volunteer issue?
Yes. Yeah. We're really struggling trying to get people to come back. We used to have sororities call us and say, we want to just do something. And we're not getting that anymore. We mm-hmm. are just trying to get our name back out there. So this is very helpful. Thank you. The other need is always money, and that's what you're going to find with all of us on the nonprofit side, the charitable side. We need money to be able to then turn around and help. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we have a very low overhead, and that allows us to give much more back to our programs than just the corporate sponsorships for our homes specifically. That would be incredibly good. And then applicants. We do need applicants. So we mm-hmm. get a lot of applicants for the Safe at Home side. The bigger side, when we're doing our rebuild homes, that's when I think people just kind of think it's too good to be true. So they're not turning things in. But then they see us when we finally are out there going, how in the world mm-hmm. did I miss this? So, yeah.
You know, something's coming to mind, and I'm going to ask you in the conversation as opposed to after the conversation, because he has been wonderful in terms of engaging with some of the stuff that we talk about. Kevin Dobson, Capital Community College and Career, it's all trades, has... It seems there would be an opportunity there for volunteers for these students who are in the trade learning
So space. We worked for years with Los Rios Community College mm-hmm. and even some of the high schools that have a trade avenue. And that was one of the things that just recently came back up. It is, I think we need to be reaching out to them a little bit more. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've really kind of gone back and forth with is how can we help people with workforce development, teach them, but not increase necessarily our liability, but also right. get our work done? One of the things that we do with that is we work with AmeriCorps and CCC, and they will send out a team. I think we have 6 or 7 young people, and it is specifically to learn the trades. So we do take them out to teach them how to use tools and work with these homeowners and that kind of thing. So to a small extent, we do have a little bit of a workforce development. We can reach out to groups that have the trade fields that is something that we should revisit. So thank mm-hmm. you for bringing that up.
I'll send the podcast episode to them.
That's great. And yes, please contact us.
I actually do know that we have some of the larger contractors in the community who are engaged with some of our podcasts because they're relevant to them. Again, that's the beauty of what happens in here as we speak is something, it just triggers something because I talked to somebody recently or they were on an episode or somebody referenced somebody in an episode. And it's like, oh, no, didn't think about it. So often that stuff's right in front of us and we just overlook it because we're so focused on the mission and the purpose of what we're doing. We just don't know. But I will say, and I'm really pleased to hear how engaged you are with other organizations by necessity and people who are specific to the cause, to your mm-hmm. purpose. That's probably more than some of the other organizations that I've spoken with. So.
Oh, that's
great.
You know,
compliments to you. Yeah, I'd like to see
that,
all that connectivity. This has been wonderful. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we get into the wrap?
I just want to thank you. This has been a great opportunity for us to tell people about who we are. You are so pleasant, and I appreciate that. So we just need people to donate, to help, and to apply.
Well, it's certainly our expectation that we can help with some of that. And thank you for what you do because, you know, our seniors do get neglected. Mm-hmm. And everybody's in the novelty of now and new. And unfortunately, that's not the senior community. And they don't have the wherewithal to reach out. They don't have the comfort level with all the technology and everything to reach out. And in some cases, even the knowledge of how to get online to fill out your application.
That's true.
So it requires a community to support them. You know, it does. It takes a village to engage and understand. And I think what you're doing is one of those things, especially when you're so visible in a neighborhood doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, that's the beauty of it because we all see something when somebody's doing a remodel or
right.
they're doing it, and we want to talk about it. And we see the dumpster. Hey, by the way, I have some junk. Can I throw in there? Those are the things that make a difference. So thank you for what you're doing in the community as well. And I'm thrilled to have you on today because it's the first time we've had somebody in this construction-based industry where it's different from, you know, some of the social or you know, civic stuff that we've done. And so I'm thrilled to have you on, and thank you for participating.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Once again, we're grateful to the businesses who have made this program possible. CAP Trust, fiduciary advice for endowments and foundations. You can find them in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom, or at captrust.com. Runyon Saltzman Incorporated, RSE, marketing, advertising, and public relations, creating integrated communications committed to improving lives. You can find them at rs-e.com. And Western Health Advantage, a full-service healthcare plan for individuals, employer groups, and families. westernhealth.com. Thank you for listening to the Nonprofit Podcast Series. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If what you heard moved you, please reach out to that organization and do what you can to help. If you like and appreciate what we're doing to support local nonprofits, please give us a positive review, subscribe, and share. If you're a nonprofit with an interest in participating in an episode, you can reach us at info@multipointstrategies.com. The Nonprofit Podcast Network is a production of Multipoint Content Strategies and is recorded and edited by Hear Me Now Studio.